Welcome, everyone, to the Happy Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Kerry Jack, lifestyle entrepreneur, professional model slash actor, biohacker, and eco-warrior striving to make a positive impact on this planet. My goal is to inspire, educate, and entertain you while reminding you to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, as you happy hustle for a life of passion and purpose. I am so grateful and humbled to be spending some time together today. Now, let's dive in. What is up, you beautiful happy hustlers out there? Kerry Jack here, and I hope you are having an amazing day. I mean it, just enjoying this very moment right here and right now, baby. And in this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast, we are talking to Tamara Andress, who is a top thought leader in spiritual entrepreneurship. She is an ordained minister and personal and professional development coach on a mission to free and propel entrepreneurs globally to make their uniquely purposed kingdom impact joyfully. Her Fit in Faith podcast is globally ranked in the top 1% of the spiritual, religious, and business charts with over 200 interviews. And with it over a decade and a half of firsthand experience with startups and nonprofit development, she serves as an advisor for emerging companies. You guys are going to love her vibe. She's super high energy and just a really awesome person. And we talk all about entrepreneurship, finding your purpose, your passion, and how you can happy hustle a life that you love. So, buckle up after this quick episode sponsor break. Real quick, guys, I just want to give a massive shout out to my go-to magnesium breakthrough supplement. This bad boy is legit. If you're not getting optimal sleep, chances are you're deficient in magnesium. Heck, 75% of all people are. So if you want to get the hookup, sleep better tonight, reduce those cortisol levels, and just overall improve your immune system and its functionality, go to magnesiumbreakthrough.com/hustle. Tamara, welcome to the Happy Hustle Podcast, my friend. I am super excited to connect.
Thanks so much for having me. When I had the opportunity and saw this in my inbox, I was thinking of Happy Hustle and how much it is so associated to my story and also something that I reject a bit. And so I'm excited to have a conversation about how that's been a part of my story and line and how I hope to help your audience do the same.
Yeah, I equally was excited. I know our mutual friend, Rachel, pastor, you know, connected us. And it's always awesome to meet just aligned entrepreneurs, you know, and people who are out there doing it and also sharing their positive impact to others. And, you know, I'm really excited to dive into your journey and your path and what you're up to now. But before we get into all that good stuff, what is something interesting about yourself that not too many people know?
There are so many things, right? We're also multifaceted. And the first thing that came to mind is that in order for me to get presidency in a student government organization, I chose to utilize the Macarena as my methodology of winning. And so whenever I think of dancing or being on stage, instead of being fear oriented of being a public speaker or getting on stage in front of large groups of people, I always just think back to fourth grade when I did the Macarena and how much fun it was. And so that's my key. I don't look at people in the audience and think of them being naked, like some people might say. I think about doing the Macarena and they're all dancing with me instead of just watching me dance.
That's pretty funny. I haven't done the Macarena in a hot minute, but I do miss it.
You Maybe know? It's the new intro song today. I don't know.
One, Mecca two, Mecca three, Macarena. Yes. Yeah, it's good. All right. All right.
It's really good.
Well, let's dive in. I always like to kick things off with a bang. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, Fit in Faith and the genesis of, you know, your business and your brand. And I know FIT's an acronym. So just give us a little bit of insight as to, you know, what started this business and brand and who exactly do you serve with it?
I love this question, and it's cool because fit and faith, no different than the evolution of an entrepreneur, is also an evolution, even the acronym. And so when I first came out with the concept of the podcast, it was really from my own methodology of crash and burn. So this idea of hustle, right? And this is where that piece of it feels really hard to think about hustle because of what it looked like when the rug was pulled from beneath me. And I call it a forced quit, because sometimes we feel like the choice is ours, and yet sometimes we're put into a corner. And it was a combination of both for me. I was an entrepreneur throughout my entire 20s. I went to business school and jumped right into developing the business plan that I created when I was in business school and bringing it to life, because the people who were doing a business plan competition actually said, hey, you're not winning the investment of 25K at your university, but you're getting runner up. And I'm telling you, you should move forward with this idea. So I was doing that. I was hustling hard. I started about 7 different businesses through my 20s, whether or not it was a personal training, nutrition coaching company. It was also the brick and mortar store. That was the business idea from college. I also was approached by an Australian inventor around a nursing bra line who wanted to bring it to the American market. And it was way off from one who was a dude trying to bring a bra to the American market. That in and of itself is weird. And then there's the nursing element. And so since my brick and mortar was all around maternity and infant, I was the perfect person to come into contact with when he walked through my store. And so I got to bring that to market as well, both here in the United Kingdom and Canada. And so I was working 60, 70 hours a week in the midst of starting a family. I had a 2-year-old and a sub 1-year-old at home, and I was just burnt out.
Yeah.
And so the hustle was real. The American dream chase was real. And yet I was completely void. I was not happy. On the outside looking in, let's actually correct that. I was happy. Everyone saw smiles and glam. And she's a CEO of 2 businesses. And we were the youngest couple in our neighborhood. We had the white picket fence and the 2 nice cars and my handsome hot hubby. People called us Barbie and Ken. We had a boy first, girl second, right? It's like the snapshot into the American dream. And yet what people don't talk about in the American dream is that mental health component, what's actually happening behind the scenes, what's behind the highlight reel. And so Fit and Faith was established because I wanted to share with people authentically how to get out of that place, how to get off the rat wheel, and how to live in a state of full alignment. And so faith and fitness were a component of intersection for me. When I realized that people needed this understanding of alignment more than what they let on. And it's always behind the lens that I love to hang out with people. And so it now is an acronym for founders, innovators, and trailblazers. And so I realized that my knack was for the entrepreneur and the business startup and the business scaler, and wanting to just put them in a space of understanding that their fitness is actually associated to their faith, to their belief system, to their alignment zone. And so that's been the evolution. It's been super fun.
Wow. What a journey. I mean,
yeah,
I can so appreciate the entrepreneurial hustle and then reaching a point of burnout, because that's very similar to my story in many regards. You know, I think we all have those, you know, come to God moments where we're like,
yeah,
this is not what I want. This isn't the person that I truly want to become. I've, you know, crafted this version of what society, you know, imposed upon
expects.
Me as expects
totally.
And you know, we do things for title and ego and profit and success, and I think you and I were no different in some regard, where we had our focus on those things, you know, to ultimately bring us fulfillment and to bring us status and significance. And then, you know, ultimately you realize there's more to life, you know, and that's kind of what happened with me. Is, you know, I wanted to really make a positive impact, but I wanted to do it with freedom, top of mind, creative freedom, time freedom,
that's good,
and financial freedom, and become a lifestyle entrepreneur, you know, similar. Now we both are
so good,
but it seems lifestyle entrepreneurs. And, you know, I know a lot of the happy hustlers out there listening are on a similar journey of significance and fulfillment, and they maybe want to do it a little differently, you know, and right. put the happy in their everyday hustle, not conform yeah. to society's beliefs. What would you say to someone who's maybe at that crossroads, you know, someone who is, you know, deciding if they stay with their corporate career or if they start mm-hmm. that side hustle and, you know, go all in on themselves and their dream? What would you say to someone who's currently at that crossroads?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of people who are in that space, and we've heard about this concept of the great resignation that's been spiraling because of COVID, and people are jumping from their corporate settings. One, because they've either been fired, they've been on furloughed, they've been, you know, set to the side for a time being. And they're recognizing that the thing that I thought made me happy, which was this idea of success, is actually depleting me. And it's so much better to be home, and it's so much better to work through a computer. And it's so much like there's so many positives. And so as the great resignation has continued to evolve, this has been conversations that you and I have been having way prior to this, you know, media conversation. And it's ultimately associated to joy, but fear is often the biggest inhibitor. Mm. What happens if I lose my stability? What happens if I lose my title? What happens if I lose my community, which is who you see from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday? What happens if I don't have the people to go to happy hour with? Who am I if I am not that? And so it's more so a conversation about identity than it is about wanting to do the things that create and evoke joy or happiness. And so my biggest thing, and this has been something that's been tied to my journey for a long time, ever since I got married, actually, where I was standing at my, the procession prior to going down the aisle, and it was pouring down rain. And I was standing in my bikini, not my bride dress, because of it being raining. And no little girl like sits around me like, I can't wait to get married in my bathing suit. That's not a thing, okay? So though I did it, it was because my husband and I, or my fiance at the time, we had the conversation of like, we're going to get married in the sand. Our feet will be in the sand, rain or shine. Whether people decide they're going to come out and join us or not is up to them. But I stood there on top of this huge staircase that was going to come down to the beach. And there was 300 people outside on the beach in a lightning storm with umbrellas. Oh, and wow. My dad said, you've never been wet where you didn't dry off. And that to me has been the safe harbor of conversation and mentality and everything that I've done that I've ever been scared about. Is the knowing that it's only going to hurt for a minute if it does, that there's going to be light on the other side. It's going to be a learned lesson on the other side. And you're going to get through it and you're going to dry off. And so I know now, even after weathering storms in my marriage, and so there was a lot of figurative experience with getting married in a lightning storm, and it wasn't the, oh, it's raining and that means you're going to have a lot of babies. I don't know who made that up. That's yeah, the that stupidest myth. Thing I've ever heard. That wasn't true. I have 2 babies and we're good. However, the storm parallel was very accurate to getting married and still being in the mentality that success was what we both wanted ultimately. Freedom was what we both wanted ultimately, but we were pursuing it in different ways. And so if you're looking to start your business, if you're looking to jump 2 feet in, I would just encourage you, like, get in, get wet, and understand that you're going to dry off eventually when the time is right and when you're in pace and in alignment with what you're made to do. And so I think there's that conversation of made to do. What am I made to do? And this conversation around purpose. And I really believe that purpose is the process. It's not a destination. Like, purpose is every day waking up on purpose, on mission, with intent to be the better, happier, joyful, more free version of yourself, to exist in a realm and a day and an age that you feel not trapped, but excited to do what you get to do. So yesterday I was sitting in this exact chair. I did not get up for nearly 12 hours, not exaggerating, other than to go to the bathroom. Sounds terrible, right? I was having a blast. My husband said, I came in and I was having a meeting and I was on the phone and I heard you laughing in there and cutting up. And what were you doing? I was like, I was coaching, I was podcasting, I was training, I was talking with my team. I was having the time of my life. And though I am not associated at that point to being a mom, right? And people would be like, isn't that a hustle? Isn't that working and sitting in the same chair for 12 hours? Well, I have a standing desk so I can stand up too.
Yeah.
But I was equally a mom in those hours and equally a wife in those hours because of the alignment factor of knowing, what does today look like? Today, I'm going to give them more than they had yesterday. And my business won't get the same attention. And yet it's going to be a momentum because yesterday I spent 12 hours moving the needle. And so it looks different. Being an entrepreneur and having time freedom means you get to choose what your day looks like. But when you're living on purpose, you're living in joy no matter what you're doing, because you're understanding that there is a path in which purpose exists, and you're making an impact in the process, whether you're serving one person or you're serving a million people. And that's the evolution of your business and the impact that you intend to make. But as I've built a brand and I've seen more community members come into play there, I'm no more passionate about my purpose than I was 5 years ago when only one person listened to my podcast than I am now when I'm at the top 1% and I have millions of listeners, right? It doesn't affect me. My joy factor hasn't changed because I'm in alignment, and I have a specific methodology that I talk to about that I'd love to share, but I want to hear your feedback in that part of my journey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such great advice your dad gave you, and you know, it really does sum up the fear that we all encounter, yet it truly doesn't last. Like, if you get wet, you will dry off. You know, the rain doesn't last forever, right? And so if you are on the fence right now, here is, not that you needed it, permission from Tamara and myself to dive all in and to get wet and then realize that you'll dry off along the journey. You'll pivot, you'll evolve. And, you know, you mentioned passion and really, you know, diving into your purpose. And these are three very cliche buzzwords that I truly do associate the happy hustle with. You know, it's passion, which is for me, like, the inward calling, like on my heartstrings, like, what do I really feel called to do? Like, what is the message? What is the problem that I wish to solve? And then the purpose for me is, okay, what is that outward serving mission? Like, who am I solving that problem for? You know, it's like, if you are solving problems for people that you don't really care about and don't want to be around, you're not going to enjoy your work. You know, Tamara's not going to want to sit in a chair for 12 hours helping people she doesn't like, you know, or doesn't want to help. Right. And then the positive impact is actually doing something that makes a positive impact, you know. And for me, positive impact is more than just like on one person or changing a life. It's actually having like sustainable supply chains and ethical business practices and integrity with what you do, you know. And I'm big into like eco businesses solving like actual problems in the world and using business as a force for good. And my brother and I actually have a company called Eco Breakthroughs fighting the plastic pollution epidemic in conjunction with the Happy Hustle. And he runs point on that.
But
it really is like combining all three, you know, the passion, the purpose, and the positive impact. And, I just
totally
love that you went there.
I think what's something that's interesting that might be interesting to your audience as well, knowing that it's a predominant male listenership, is my husband is also an entrepreneur. And so he has been an entrepreneur for this specific business for 10 years. And so prior to us getting married, actually, we're 10 years this year. Yay. We made it.
Congrats.
In a decade.
Wow.
To think, right? That's good. We started our marriage in the midst of starting a business
Yikes.
That he jumped full-fledgedly into. I also then became almost immediately pregnant, because that's pretty much how it works, right? And I was following the track of the expectations of society the moment you get married. So when are you going to have babies? Okay, 9 months from now. Wait, 10 months from now. And so it's hard. Entrepreneurship is hard. It's hard for just one person to go through. But when you have two people in the same household who share in this desire to make a massive impact and to show up in the full entirety of who they are, which is totally possible. And I think everyone has an air of entrepreneurship in them. Does that mean everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur? No. But I have plenty of entrepreneurial type people on my team who share in the vision and mission and passion and purpose, but they show up in their zone of genius to support the overall mission. And therefore, they're entrepreneurial in their zone of genius. They go to school and they get courses and they go to conferences and they do things that cultivate their business that is separate than our vision, and yet it is also a part of. So as that happened and we were two people on the entrepreneurial path, that's where the intersection of success could potentially harness and hurt your family, your time together, your relationship, right? And who supersedes who in that when you're both, quote unquote, wearing the pants for your own purpose. And so it was really allowing us to have open conversation and communication about finances, about what makes us tick, about learning how to communicate not only with ourselves, but with our children, about what it is that mommy and daddy were doing all hours of the day, right? We always talk to our kids. We don't tell our kids that we go to work. We tell them that we go to create or we go to help people. And so they don't associate what I do as work or hard. They associate what I do as something that is fun, that mommy is brought joy from, and I also get to create impact and help people, and I get to use my creative spirit because every entrepreneur is creative, whether you're a tech guru or you're an artist, whether you're a coach or you're an author, you're being creative at every given minute with the time that you're given and the gifts and talents that you're using. And so it's fun. You get to cultivate these things on a daily basis. And so in the evolution of two entrepreneurs being in a household, we have formulated just a framework for parenting, a framework for serving one another and surrendering our own dreams to the greater impact of society based on a time, based on a day, based on a season. Right now, I'm in the season where my business is in a momentum that his business was in 6 years ago. And so he's taking daddy duty normally more than mama would, right? And so when we talk about balance, which I often call a lie, I think just of the alignment factor. And when you're both truly assured and sold out on what it is that you're meant to do and called to do both uniquely individually, but also uniquely together, you can be in flow and rhythm and that understanding of what people would say or term as balance.
Yeah, such a great point. I want to dive into your framework and hear, you know, how two entrepreneurs live under one roof and still run successful businesses, have, you know, a marriage that is healthy and raising, you know, vibrant kids. Because I think a lot of parents out there listening, especially, and I know myself and my fiance, we attempted to start a business together. And it was not a good idea for us. You know, it's just a lot. We had to choose like the business or the relationship because we just didn't have enough autonomy in our roles and there was just too much overlap. I think some people do it successfully, but it's a rare, you know, it's a rarity. But in terms of having two entrepreneurs, she's an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur as well, so I can resonate with that. Let me hear this framework. So, and the happy hustlers out there, so they can, you know, learn from Tamara and her wisdom.
Okay. So I would say we have two core shared root values, and that is travel and adventure, which might sound the exact same to some people, but it's not. Adventure to us is an everyday thing. Adventure to us is a grounding thing. Adventure to us is taking your socks off and literally putting it on the ground so that you have that sense of alignment, being in tune with God, being in tune with your children and having those relational communication experiences. While travel really lends itself to cultural learning, it really lends itself to time in versus time out, right? And even though I have components of travel, and so does he, where we're not together, so that is more of a time out experience, we're really into traveling together. And so it really parallels to what does your day-to-day look like, and when do each of you prioritize and align those root values for yourself? And so even if I don't get to leave the state today, or I don't get to leave even my house or my chair, in my head, in my experiences, I am traveling. I am traveling to other countries when I am showing up in social media and I'm interacting with someone from Africa. I am traveling to someone right now in another state in Montana as I am here in Virginia. And so I am creating cultural connections. I am creating relational experiences. I am fueling myself outside of just the fuel that exists in my home, which is the connectivity of my spouse and my children. And we want to infuse that in our kids. We don't want them to be bound or constrained to school. We don't want them to be bound or constrained to shoes. And I say that figuratively and literally, because we've raised Mowglis, right? We've raised children who, like, it doesn't matter if they have shoes on and they go into Target and you're judging me. If there's a no shoe rule, we'll put our shoes on. But we literally have left the state and been like, oh, shoot, we forgot their shoes and we're in Indiana. So that's how hilarious. Does that work, right? It's this knowing that, like, there is freedom and you don't have to stick to the confines of what the world tells you to do or what the world says your marriage has to be or what the world says parenting has to look like, education has to look like, politics has to look like. Like, I'm talking to every single mantle of mountain that, if you've never understood the seven mountain mantle, it's this how society operates in these seven mountains and their divisions usually, and their controlled by somebody, and it might not be who you want to be in control, but education would be one, politics would be one, family dynamics would be one, culture is one, media is one. So as I'm saying this, you're probably prompted, who's in control on that mountain, right? And oftentimes it's not real. It's a lie there too of who's actually in control. And so we have this conversation all the time, and the ultimate conversation of travel and adventure and how it comes back to our root decision to be together and to remain married and remain parenting in the same household is submission is victory. That's what we literally say all the time. Submission is victory. And so this concept of who is the provider in the household? Who wears the pants? Who gets heard versus who doesn't get heard? It's not a one or the other. It's a both and. And that has truly been the place of posture of both of our hands and the physical. Like, my hands are wide open. What you give, I will take, and you can also take back, whether it's finances, whether it's love, whether it's intimacy, whether it's conversation, whatever it be. We're multifaceted human beings, and if we're not willing to have hands that are wide open, we're going to get stuck in the whole hustle culture. And the hustle culture tells you that divorce is okay. The hustle culture tells you that you can prioritize money and finances as the love language for success, when actually there is an intimacy that's waiting for you in a creation of goodness when it comes to sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Like, you guys have access to something that is a higher sense of self, and yet society is trying to manipulate what is considered healthy and what is considered whole. Whole and holy versus healthy is a whole nother conversation and rabbit hole we can go down.
Yeah. Wow. No, I love that. I mean, amen. I mean, the submission is victory really resonates, because I think, so specifically with relationships, even in business relationships, in, you know, your family relationships, in your personal relationships with your significant other, ego oftentimes shows itself. And
totally,
you know, one thing that one of my mentors always said was, you know, you win tomorrow today by not saying something today that could hurt tomorrow, you know. And it's like,
good, that's
you,
good.
You say, like, and we often know our specifically significant others better than most, totally. Better than almost
what
everyone. So we can cut
push.
Deeper.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And it really is, you know, submission is victory. And for just everyone out there listening, you know, I'll tell you, I'm far from perfect. You know, Tamara admits she's not perfect. Like, every relationship requires compromise. It requires energy, and it requires attention. And oh, by the way, it's not a one and done type thing. It's a constant thing. You know, it's
every
like
day.
There will be adversity that arises inevitably.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, learn to navigate those waters and commit. And I'll tell you right now, I'm in the process of at the time of this recording, dopamine detox. And my partner and I, Steph, we're both, you know, no social media, no movies or streaming shows or YouTube. We're kind of like, you know, removing ourselves from dopamine. And we're also, I just have done like an hour of music at the gym and podcasts, like in that hour, just for research And I'll tell you, we have been so much more connected, so much more productive. And it's because all these external variables from our devices and from these distractions that arise in our lives take away from that unity, you know? And
totally.
We just have played phase 10. We've sat next to each other and talked.
Love it.
You know, it's like we just are just like we're, she's a little bored, I'll be honest. She's going hard. She's not even reading books. And I'm reading
wow.
at least. Yeah.
Wow,
but
yeah.
It's one of those things where you just realize, you know, this bond that you foster, it requires, you know, the energy, the attention, and the compromise,
yeah.
and submission is victory. So I really love that you went there. Now, Tamara, I do want to talk about, you know, your business and who it actually
yeah.
serves. And, you know, for the people out there who want to connect with you, you know, let us know where people, obviously the podcast as
sure.
well, but give us some links where people can connect more with you and who you actually serve.
Yeah. And I wanted to parallel that piece because business is such a passion of mine. And we went really deep on the personal thing out the gate unintentionally, but also I believe has great purpose for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the knowing that these same concepts apply to every component of just business, of just entrepreneurship. Everything that I'm sharing, I've recognized relationally, connectivity wise. What are your root values as a business? What is your mission? How is it associated to who you are and the passions that you have and the purpose that you're living out, not just in your 9 to 5 or as an entrepreneur, whenever those hours exist, but all the time, because who you are outside of your business is so important. And I started teaching from a framework around being brand and then identity, which is being brand and business, right? I have these three B's that I go through. And even though I am a professional development coach and I help you start your business, I really want to know why your business exists. I want to know who you are and how that infiltrates your brand rather mm-hmm. than I have an idea and I'm going to start this business. Usually they're decent ideas and I'm like, cool, let's have a conversation. And then I find in the conversation and in the construction of that business, one, they don't know who they are or why they're showing up doing this thing and how it's going to affect every other element of life. And therefore, their brand is a fictitious identity factor. I did this. So everything that I teach is because I failed at it. And so I wanted to create this business. I wanted Fit and Faith to be this idea that people could come and get really great concepts of developing business based on who they are. However, I fictitiously developed a brand based on trend. I said, okay, what's popular? What's happening? What are people really attracted to right now? And it was these muted blush tones. And this is going to parallel to the entire conversation and question that you originally asked. So stick with me. I chose these blush tones of like pink and green and tan. And it was like a desert vibe, right? And I liked it. But every time we created something, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like me. And so if you're creating a business that there are components of your day that just don't feel like you, they feel like out of flesh, they feel like out of body, you're going to get trapped eventually in that hustle idea again, rather mm-hmm. than the happy, the other part, the prioritization of purpose. And so what I do through the framework is I bring you through this personal development experience into your brand, which then becomes your business. And I think every business is personal. Every personal thing is business. And I'll say it through like the God lens of ministry is business and business is ministry, understanding that purpose is ministry. How are you serving that huge impact? How are you serving the ecosystem, the environmental, the humanities, all of these realms of identity. And it's understanding that your business is not just the good idea. It's who you are. And I had this interesting experience when I was starting the entrepreneurial journey in my early 20s, where I had a vision for my business. I knew what it was going to become. And I was roping in all of my community members, everybody that I was in relationship with, likely at that point, because I'm young and just fresh out of college, and I'm not really ingrained in the whole entire community. It was just friends, right? I'm like, hey, come buy from me. Hey, come do this thing. And I'm trying to acquire people who are not in alignment with the big vision. And so none of my friends were buying from me. Actually, a lot of my friends were rejecting me as an entrepreneur. They weren't coming to me at all, and they were not happy with the fact that I was talking about business all the time. And as an entrepreneur, you can likely relate because it becomes your passion, because it becomes what you listen to at the gym, because it becomes what you read when you're on the airplane, because it comes into conversation, especially when you have a fellow entrepreneur, when you're in bed together at night or you're on date night. It's something that is not a separate piece to self. And so why would you create your business out of entirety of every passion and purpose that you touch, right? And so I create frameworks with people. I create their business plan. I create the system and I develop the integration of the client acquisition based on every part of self. And so people who come into community with me, they're not going into some funnel that eventually they hit a high ticket offer and then you're bye-bye. I got what I wanted out of you. Mm. No, it's an entirety of living and it's an entirety of creating community. And so I've shifted this idea of funnel and I've shifted it into the framework of an hourglass, right? Mm. And so an hourglass has a similar experience. You have your top of funnel integration as an entrepreneur, as a client comes in, the know, like, and trust is developed. You're coming in to eventually exchange that high ticket experience, but then it's not a one and done goodbye, you're out to dry. It's a, I'm going to create another experience on the other side of that high ticket conversion. And this is how I train my clients to develop community and impact that lasts because we are evolving as humans. Every single day, you're learning something new. You're having those failure components. It's raining and you've dried off and you've learned a new way to dry off this time. And in that evolution, at some point, what your company was originally founded on might expand. And you're going to be able to flip that hourglass upside down and bring people back into the funnel experience with you, back into another high ticket conversion. You've now expanded your lifetime customer value tenfold and into to an idea of eternity, and someone's going to be sold out for your business rather than just sold to. Nobody wants to feel sold to. And so it really is the model for servant leadership. It's really the model for showing up on purpose and in mission to develop a business in this framework.
I love that. I love the hourglass analogy and metaphor. It really does resonate because I do think, you know, there's a lot of, as my friend Chad says, furus out there, you know, fake gurus. And it's like everyone and their mother is a guru and can help you start a business and, you know, become number one and, oh, buy some crypto. I know the next altcoin. It's like everyone's got these, like, you know, it almost seems it's like a scam. And it's tough to find servant leaders, people who are actually doing the damn thing, you know, and like getting out there every day. And getting wet and then drying off and teaching from experience. And, you know, that's what I appreciate about you. And, you know, I think that's why I really resonated with your message. And, you know, I urge everyone who is listening and interested in, you know, learning more from Tamara to check out fitinfaithmedia.com. And you guys can learn more about her and her consulting and her programs and check out her podcast. I think I'm going to rock the mic on there soon and we'll have some fun chatting. Now, Tamara, I do want to ask you some traditional Happy Hustle questions. First being health. You know, you mentioned, you know, health is a priority for you. You actually had a, you know, personal training business you mentioned. What is a happy hustle hack in regards to your health? This might be a tip, a tool, a tactic, something that you personally do that you could share with the happy hustlers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so removing the spirit of religion when it comes to this, it was probably four and a half years ago, I stopped listening to secular music when I was working out. And that's a really hard thing to do when you go to a gym and they're playing the music for you, right? And if you do group-oriented things and you have to not have earplugs in because you've got to hear your trainer, can be difficult. But it was an evolution for me to the point where I now am training in my own garage. We've kind of redone that entire space. And the reason I did that wasn't to be prude, not because I can't listen to secular music, but because I was realizing that what it was creating me to think about was not healthy towards my marriage, towards my heart center, and towards what I wanted my business to be. And so why, if I'm spending time working out, which I do as often as possible, traditionally 5 days a week, why would I move and create momentum in one area of health and then also degrade like another component of being? Mm. I would be diminishing something else in the process of not listening to something positive, not listening. And there can be good secular, you know, uplifting music, but what about a podcast? What about an Audible book? What about a message from a pastor or from somebody who is a mentor? What about a coaching session during that mm-hmm. time, right? Think outside of the box of how you're using that time and what, like you said, we're being input all the time with information. I love that idea of doing that detox, but understanding that that can be valuable time to grow and better yourself. So a hack for me would be listening to the things that are fueling me while I'm also creating health and momentum in my body.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Just being very intentional with what goes into your consciousness, I think is, mm-hmm. it's imperative. And there yes. is, it's true, a lot of the music out there, it sends the negative message. Yeah. And
yeah.
I'm guilty of listening to some pretty hard stuff when I work out, you know, yeah. if I'm pushing it, especially if I'm hitting the heavy bag,
totally.
You know,
totally.
I'm like, this is some rough lyrics, but
would you have coffee and listen to that music with your mom?
Oh, no,
right?
No, not at all.
Probably not, but it's got a yeah. great pace. It gets you hyped yeah. up, right?
Yeah.
But this is a perfect case scenario, and it'll resonate with your audience, is like, I was talking about it yesterday, football teams, football players, right? Like the coach generally comes at them yelling, is super hardcore, is telling them like the worst things to give them momentum, to get that energy and to get that fight out so that they hit the linebacker and they can knock them down because they're harnessing aggression, which is a typical masculine quality. And yet there are also coaches, especially coaches recently, coaches like the Raiders team and things like that, who are coming in and they're flipping the script on what these men are used to. And they're actually coming in and they're doing what you traditionally would hear is like killing them with kindness. They're actually encouraging them. They're actually coming in with a gentle tone so that they lean in and they listen. And this is a parenting strategy that we've utilized. It's not about yelling. It's not about discipline. It's about loving. It's about being present with them and understanding the backfire, not out of anger, not out of trauma, but out of hope and out of adrenaline and out of excitement. And so the coach is actually learning about the player and seeing what fuels them. And so let's say it's a player whose mom was a single mom growing up and they barely could make ends meet from a financial perspective and they lived in not great conditions. And that football player, all he wants to do with all that money that he's about to make in this signature is to buy his mom a house and make sure that she's always safe. This is a common conversation that you hear from players. And so that coach can now come in because they hear a heartstring, and instead of fueling it with anger and saying like somebody's going to come in and hurt your mom, he's saying, don't you want to have your safety of your mom? Don't you want to yeah. have them healthy? And yeah. so it's no different when you're fueling yourself in your own time. What is happening to you? What is being infiltrated into your spirit? And then how are those actions being played out? Because I can yeah. tell you, some of the music that I used to listen to, I had the country mega ticket. I went to every yeah. country outdoor nice. Concert that you could imagine. And I still love country.
Yeah.
But what I was realizing is what was circling through my mind was actually things that weren't healthy for my marriage and they weren't healthy for my body image.
Yeah.
So just think about those things.
Yeah.
It sounds
yeah,
no, deep, but it's real.
No, it is real. It's a great point. Now, I do want to talk about money. I think it's a very important topic,
yeah.
you know, especially as entrepreneurs, you know, you got to make money.
Yeah.
And money is the lifeblood of your business.
Yeah.
Let's hear a happy hustle hack in regards to money, something that Tamara does maybe to save, invest, or spend wisely, or to make more of it.
That's good.
Can you share a happy hustle hack in regards to money?
Yeah. I'm going to say two things, just in correction of my own perspective. People are the lifeblood of your business, not money.
Fair enough. Yes.
Good. So
sales.
Knowing
sales
that,
typically, which comes yeah. from people.
Or service.
Yes.
Or service, right? Showing up and doing that hourglass experience makes me not think about how that person is going to eventually be in that high ticket methodology or that high ticket experience, but more so, how are they going to expand the awareness of my brand? How are they going to have engagement for my brand? Because maybe
yep.
that person who comes in and is attracted to what it is that I'm doing will never be that high ticket conversion, will never be. That doesn't
yep.
mean that I put them to the side. It means I bring them in closer and we exchange experiences or relationship or brand
yep.
infusion into their home life that then they have me on the forefront of their tongue when they're talking to the person. It's like, oh my gosh, you're starting a business. I know the perfect coach for you. And so they become the acquisition, right? And so I'm always thinking from that perspective, money is very important. It's just a resource though. We were having a conversation recently. I wish, this is what my one of my employees, my sales manager said. She said, I wish money wasn't a thing. I wish it wasn't real. And I was like, well, it's technically not. Money is not real. It's not even tangible. It's actually fictitious. And now we know this even more when it comes to crypto and NFTs and like, what is that really, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, if we go back to what it used to be before money was the exchange rate and the currency and the lifeblood, it was bartering. It was a value exchange of what gift and talent do you have that can be exchanged with my gift and talent. And so when I bring on a client, though they're exchanging money with me, and it's a high ticket conversion, if you're thinking about coaching, some of my clients are paying upwards of 25 to 30 grand on one exchange. It's the understanding that they are actually also serving me. And so I get to hire them as much as they're hiring me. I might not be giving them money yet, but I see something great in them. And so as they're cultivating their business and it's time for them to host a retreat, or it's time for them to have a conference, or it's time for them to do the thing that I really think is a phenomenal idea, I'm going to exchange. I'm going to come back with that bartering mentality and say, what can I give you just as you've given to me? And so I think that there's a flip of the script on that, but I think money is important. I think that there's a credibility to how much money you make and how that generates a team and allows you to have overhead experiences and allows you to travel in your business and have more community opportunities and systems and all that stuff does require money. But to me, whether I'm making money or not, the people are really the key component of conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. And I think the value exchange is really what's important. And I often say, and I learned this from one of my mentors, Rory Vaden, he talks about win the relationship over winning the sale. And I give my time away probably more than I even should to calls, to readers of my book, to people who are listening to the podcast. But oftentimes it doesn't result in any sale, but there was a value exchange.
Totally. And
I really appreciate that, the flip of the script. And I hope the happy hustlers, take that to heart and just see how you can give value first and foremost, unconditionally, without strings attached. And you'll watch as the universe provides for you. And it really does.
Well, I think it becomes, you become a magnet at that point. You become a magnet because you are now giving value. They become closer to you. And I think this is a good analogy for money too. And you might've heard it before in an example, but the manager at McDonald's, right, makes not a lot of money, right? Like it's sad what they make. Or we can even use a teacher perhaps. They don't make what their value exchange truly is. And that's sad. We need to work on that, right? On all fronts. However, they are working no harder than my husband, who is converting six-figure sales on a day-to-day basis. They're not working harder. They both have to leave their family to make that happen. They both have to use their leadership qualities. They both are likely in some sort of mentorship experience that's bettering who they are as a person. So they're a better team player and manager and financial guru and all of the other components to self. And so I think we need to recognize that it's not necessarily about the money. It's really about the person and the human. And so that manager could at some point, if they were doing the work as hard as I hope that they are, they could be plucked up and put into that same position as my husband is doing, and they could make it happen. They could not drown in that rainy day, right?
Yep.
And it might mean that they have to change the configuration towards what they've understood to be true or what their knack is, but they're working just as hard. They're hustling just as hard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very true. Now, I do want to touch on spirituality as the final happy hustle hack question. And I know faith is a big component of you and your business and your brand. Give us a happy hustle hack in regards to, spirituality and just tapping into a higher power.
So to talk through that alignment factor, we talked about it at the beginning and how I had briefly mentioned that concept of balance is a lie. A lot of times people will give you this like wheel. They'll say the five Fs. It's like faith, fitness, finances,
family
and fun, Okay, there's a good 5F. I just made the last one up. I don't know if fun is a part of it. Should be. Should be. But this is their wheel, right? And in a wheel, no different than a bicycle wheel, if there is something out of alignment, if one of the spokes is less than the other, it's going to be really hard for you to like get in momentum, right? Like the analogy, it's not wrong, but I don't believe in the fact that your spirituality should ever be something that you have to inflate or deflate at any given time to associate to the other things on the wheel. Right? We want the wheel to go. And yet I think the hub, the component that is actually holding it all together is spirituality. It's that understanding of the bigger version of self that has to be present in order for those spokes to even exist. So I kind of flipped it into an alignment factor where it's a prioritization rather than a if then or right now. You can do your spirit side on Sunday morning and go to church, or you can do it in your meditation practice on Monday evening. And then that's all that you're doing for that specific practice, and more so a everyday experience of alignment. And so I have heart first, which I relate to the heart associated to your creator, to your God. And that being the most important thing that I prioritize every day, it then goes into head. It goes into my mindset. It goes into what am I fueling myself with? We talked about music being one of those. You talked about not having TV or media. We don't even have a TV in our downstairs at all for that reason. Then it goes into health. And we talked about fitness, and you talked about those things of nutrition, and 90% of what happens in the kitchen. And so we're very conscientious of how we fuel our family and then what we do with our body and our time. And then it goes into home, and home is your relationships. Home is your marriage. Home is your parenting. Home is your friendships. Home is the people on your team. And then lastly, as we talked about, it goes to handbag, or for your community, man bag. That's a thing. It's coming back. I promise.
Oh, yeah.
The fanny pack is
I got like six
and
of
so
them.
If it's heart, head, health, home, handbag, it's the recognition that if you unprioritize, if you put one of those things off the list, you're going to feel misaligned, and you're going to feel like something is missing. And likely what will happen is you'll divert your attention to that one thing, and it'll throw everything else out of whack. If money is your priority, your spirit man is also depleted. Right? Yep. Because you're going after something that is intangible. You're going after something that's never going to provide you the happiness as your identity of just being in the mirror and knowing you have breath, you have purpose in this moment simply because you're alive. Wow. I mean, that's such a difference than to say, I don't have identity, or I don't have worth, or I don't have purpose because my bank account is negative. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy in this moment, whether you're a millionaire or whether you have no money to your account. And so I really think that spiritual self, faith, God is the priority to every other piece of the puzzle.
Mm, yeah. Amen. Again, I would agree, you know, and I think people get caught up in religion being spirituality. And I think they're two different things. I think you can be spiritual without being religious, much like I am myself, you know, and I'm a big believer in God. I pray every day. I pray over every meal, you know, I meditate and I practice gratitude, and I really do. I think it's the core component of why I feel so much bliss in my everyday life, you know, and it stems like you have to have a full cup in order to give to your man bag or handbag, right, to others.
Yeah.
And,
come on.
You know, I just think
so
it's
good.
A really important component. So love that you went there.
Yeah.
Now, Tamara, I do want to run through the rapid fire round questions, and then we will wrap this interview up.
All right.
This is basically where I just ask you random things and you answer honestly. First thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm excited.
Okay. Favorite movie? Go.
Oh, Braveheart.
Favorite book?
Oh, I like so many. My most recent favorite book would be by Matthew McConaughey, Green Lights.
Oh, that was a good read. Favorite food?
Steak.
Favorite workout?
Tabata.
What's your spirit animal?
Ooh, the first thing that came to mind, Tasmanian devil.
Oh, wow. Best business advice?
Oh, man. People first, always.
Three things you're most grateful for?
God, my handsome hot hubby, and my babies.
Love that. And if you had a billboard for the world to see with your last piece of content on it, what's that billboard read?
Upjoy your life.
Ooh, crush that rapid fire round, Tamara. I just want to take a moment.
Fun.
Yeah, you did. You crushed it. I just want to take a moment, though, to acknowledge you. I thank you for sharing your love, your light, your wisdom with myself and the Happy Hustlers. This has been a powerful interview, and I really do appreciate how you show up in the world and just, you know, shining so bright and helping others in the process. Really infuse that fit and that faith and that that metaphor or that analogy again of just drying off in the rain. It's going to stick with me for a long time. So I appreciate you and how you show up in the world, Tamara.
So glad. Thank you so much. That was amazing. Such a fun conversation. And I think it's really cool to see the community that you've built, the concept of what you're building, and to know that they're coming back for more, right? And I think that that is the evolution of conversation and relationship and just you showing up consistently. So I'm excited to hear about your detox. I want to hear the aftermath.
Yeah, for sure. Now, final question, Tamara. What does happy hustling mean to you?
My word is joy over happy, because I lived a life of happy and it was a lie. So that was what spoke to me first. And then hustle. I can't hustle because I know what it feels like to burn out. And so I would say like joy and grit, grace and grit, right? When I saw that, I knew the heartbeat of what you do. And I love the smiley face in the middle because it's just simplicity of the fact that joy is attainable and it doesn't have to be so hard to get. That's what I look at your brand and I'm like, come on, I feel like you're preaching through just that. And I feel like there's a message behind it in such a deep way. So I appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Tamara. Appreciate you guys all watching and listening as well. We love you. We are out. Peace, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Hustle Podcast. I truly am so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day to spend time with me. Now, if you got any value from this episode or any episodes in the past, it would mean the world to me if you could please leave a 5-star review and share this episode with your friends so we can continue to spread this message. Guys, as always, it's been a blast. Now go out there and happy hustle for your dream reality.